Praise the Lord. What a beautiful night in the presence of the Lord. Message tonight is one place, one accord, one sound. I want to speak to the unity of the people of God. There is a place of commanded blessing where brethren in unity dwell. The Apostle Paul said, "Be diligent to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, endeavoring, make it your aim, be diligent to guard the unity of the Spirit." So let's open up our hearts to the Word of God tonight. I want to begin with Acts 1, 12 to 14. Jesus had just descended to the heavens off the Mount of Olivet. It says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem." They continued with one accord. The Bible says there were 120 gathered in that place. Acts 2, 1 to 4. You know, 10 days they waited on the Lord. We don't tell the Holy Spirit when to come or how to come. We surrender ourselves and we seek the Lord and we pray and we worship when we are pliable before him, and he will come in his power because he wants to come. Acts 2, 1 to 4, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." What a beautiful gathering in Acts 1 and 2. People united in prayer, in purpose, in spirit. Such a holy unity, such a fervent unity. And the Holy Spirit fell on that people. And the fire of heaven fell on that people, and the glory of the Lord filled the house where they were sitting and where they were praying. Hallelujah. One place, one accord, one sound. You know, we only have one life to live in the power of spiritual unity, to fulfill a scene like this, to actually be a part of something so amazing. This is our time. This is our opportunity. And let's not let it go by. Let's take advantage of it. The Holy Spirit falls on a unified people that are seeking the Lord and surrender to him. Psalm 133, 1 to 3. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." One place, one accord, one sound. And the Holy Spirit says, that's where I pour out my ministry and my life. People that are ready to receive. Well, tonight, one place. One place. Acts 2:1, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." They were all with one accord in one place. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we get into one place? Well, we have to assemble, don't we? We have to gather together. That's the only way you can get into one place. Some today don't want to be in one place. They want to be in some other place, or maybe no place, or maybe their own place. But it doesn't alter the ordinance of the Lord. He said, gather my saints together unto me. Psalm 50 and verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me. Because God has set times where he meets with his people every week. God has set times to meet with his people. God is a God of order. God is a God of structure. God is a God of routine. I mean, think of the daily routine that each of us have. Think of the weekly routine each of us has. That was put in place by God in his wisdom, in his design for our lives, because he knows that's the best way for man to live, to fulfill the responsibilities and the desire of God. When it's time for work, God wants you at work. When it's time to play, God wants you at play. And when it's time to be at church, God wants you at church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, the assembling, one place, the gathering of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. Not so much the less, as you see the day of Christ approaching, but so much the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. You know, there was an old quip a number of years ago. When you get saved, the first ministry the Lord calls you is to the ministry of regular church attendance. That's the wisdom of God. There's protection in that. When you get saved, the first ministry God calls you to is the ministry of regular church attendance. Watch the enemy. If he can get a believer to lose interest in church and going to the house of God, he soon has an easy way with that person, and that person becomes an easy target for the enemy. God said, one place, one place. Number two, one accord. One accord, meaning one mind, one purpose. Acts 4, 24 to 31. So when they heard that is the opposition to the gospel, there were threats going out against the gospel. The enemy didn't want the gospel to advance in Jerusalem, and he definitely doesn't want it to advance in this city or anywhere in the earth. So there was a threat. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against Jehovah and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The gospel went out. They were all with one accord. The word accord means mind, purpose. They were all with one purpose. They were with one mind, one passion, one vision. And our one supreme vision is the Great Commission. Our great vision is the Great Commission. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go and make disciples of all the nations." Our supreme vision, our highest vision, is to see souls saved and disciples made, to bring people to Christ and then bring them up in Christ. That is the greatest vision that all of us have to have, with one accord, one mind, one purpose. There are things that come to try and distract us from that vision. We can get caught up with petty things in the house of God and among the church and among the believers. This isn't right, and I don't like that, and I don't really want to come to this or that. And we get caught up in petty things, and they distract us and they pull us away. But we cannot let that happen, because we must present the gospel to the world. We must pray and preach the gospel. The cause is too great for us to turn aside from anything but giving and praying and serving and exhorting and edifying and making sure the gospel goes out as fully as it can in our time and under our ministry and place. Philippians 1:27, the Apostle Paul said, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Wow. The people of the house of God, the people in the church at Philippi, the people of this church, that it would be said of us that with one mind they strive together for the faith of the gospel, to see people saved and to see people built up in Christ, and to make sure the gospel witness goes out even to the ends of the earth. John 2:17, "Then his disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up.'" They watched Jesus in the temple. They saw his desire for the house of God, to be a house of prayer, to be a house for the nations, to be a house where people were saved and healed and taught and built up, that the people would be strong in the Lord and in his power of his might. And they watched him as he cleansed the temple and the words he spoke, and they remembered the scripture, "Zeal for your house has eaten you up. Zeal for the Father's house has eaten you up." You see, zeal isn't something that's just hidden away in the inner recesses of our heart. "Well, I have zeal for the Lord." Well, with Jesus, it was visible. You could see it. You could see the way he conducted himself, how he worshiped, how he taught, how he ministered, how he cleansed the temple. "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So let's be people of one accord, one mind, one purpose, bending all our energies for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to pray and give in this place and serve and prosper the name and the doctrines of Christ wherever we can. One place, one accord, one sound. Romans 15:5-7. "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another. Receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another." One sound. How do we get into one sound? How do we get into one sound? We have to surrender ourselves and begin to flow together to the goodness of the Lord. Flowing together to the goodness of the Lord, like strings being tuned to one another in the Spirit and beginning to play. People of one sound. We begin to tune our hearts. We begin to tune ourselves to one another as we come into the house of the Lord, as we did tonight. And how beautiful it is when there's one sound upon the church. Begin to tune to one another. Distractions begin to fall away. Heaviness melts. Thoughts and feelings, things that we've come into the house, maybe bearing some burdens and things agitating us, but we begin to tune our hearts to one another, tune the strings of these harps, and begin to play. And something begins to happen. We begin to come forth in power. Prayer power and praise power. It's not for us to stand back unattuned, untuned, unmoved, but to give ourselves as fully as we can to one another and to the Holy Spirit in this place, so that He can begin to play upon this harp of this church, this harp of this people, all our strings harmonizing and moving together in glorious sound for the Lord. Play, sweet psalmist of Israel. Play upon your harp. Jesus, the musician of heaven right now, play upon your harp. People of one sound, people know how to come into the house, people that know how to come and begin to pray together, worship together, tune our hearts until the presence of the Lord comes in mighty demonstration and glorious strength. Revelation 1:10, the Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day in the New Testament is Sunday. It was the day Jesus rose from the dead, so it was honored. It was the day when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. That was a Sunday. So the New Testament Christians said, we're going to honor the Lord's day. The Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I had my harp tuned. I had my strings tuned for the people of God. Now, he was on the Isle of Patmos in exile, some 100 kilometers from the church in Ephesus that he presided over and the believers that he knew. He was under persecution for the faith, but he said, that's not going to stop me from tuning my harp here, tuning these strings of my heart with those believers that are worshiping in Ephesus this morning. And together, there's going to be a sound that goes forth before the presence of the Lord. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What a scripture is that? When we come on Sundays, the Lord's day, we're getting ready in the morning. We're already confessing the word and pulling in the promises of God. We're saying, good morning, Holy Spirit. We're saying, good morning, Jesus. This is your day. This is the Lord's day. This is the day where you're going to be honored. I'm going to come with the people. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get to the prayer room. I'm going to come and worship. I'm going to magnify you and the sound of your praises. And the sound of you touching the harp of your people will be a glorious sound in your ears. And what a blessing it'll be to the people. And what a witness it will be to the strangers and the unbelievers that'll come into this place. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that then when the unbelievers and those that don't know the Lord, or those that are far from God, or the prodigals, when they walk into the house of the Lord and they hear the sound of God's people singing and worshiping, the secrets of their heart will be exposed, how sinful they are, how much they need a Savior, how undone they are without God, and they will fall down on their faces and worship and say, truly, God is among you. This is our time. This is our opportunity. One place, one accord, one sound. 2 Chronicles 5:12-14. Also the Levites which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. They couldn't stand to minister. No, they were on their faces. They were on their knees. They were bowing. They were kneeling. They were prostrate on the floor, because the presence of God came upon that unity. There is a place of commanded blessing. Let's have the worship team come at this time. Jeremiah 31, 12 to 14. "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate, I will satisfy the soul of the priests with abundance." Good evening, priests of the Lord. Harp in hand, ministering to the Lord. "And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord." Let's stand together tonight. One place, one accord, one sound. Hallelujah. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord for a few moments. Let this word settle into our hearts. Hallelujah. Yes, the Lord has a plumb line in the house. And if we will build our lives in line with that plumb line, we will be established, and the house of the Lord will be built, and we will be blessed of the Lord. The altars are always open. If you'd like prayer for some need, or you're maybe you're here and don't know Jesus as your Savior, you want to receive him tonight, say, "I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to become a true Jesus follower." Slip out from where you are. Any other needs, come. People pray for you, encourage you, lift you up. Spend a few moments before the Lord now. Let his presence rest upon us.